We're in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And in Joshua chapter number 3, the children of Israel have been wandering for 40 years. And they are getting ready to leave Shittim, and they are getting ready to cross over into the land of Canaan. And the Bible summarizes this in verse number 4 at the end of the verse by saying, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." I'm preaching on this thought this morning, going where you haven't been before. A new year. A new year, there's a certain fascination with a new year because a new year presents uncertainty. In reality, time goes on, and all of time is just part of eternity. But we do celebrate a new year. And I've heard some people say, after 2020, it could not be worse than 2020. I can't wait for a new year. There's a fascination with something new. People are fascinated with maybe things that they want to do next year that they haven't done before. I have a couple of those things on my list next year, some personal goals that I've set in some areas that I have never done in my life before. And I'm excited to start those things and pursue those things in the new year. They desire something better in a new year. The resolutions that people make, they mostly make because they think those resolutions will make their life better in some way. A chance to start over again, hoping for improvement as we think about a new year. There's the fascination with uncertainty. But there's also some that fear the unknown. We don't know what we'll face. We don't know what will come our way. We don't know problems that might arise or physical issues. We don't know the economic climate, what it will be like a year from now, or the political climate, or the international climate, or even the personal things in our lives, where we'll be a year from now. In fact, as we approach a new year, all of us are on the same page in this sense. There are 365 blank pages ahead. None yet are smudged with personal failure or sin. None are etched with faithfulness to God or devotion or good works. None are filled with description of trials or difficulties. None of the 365 pages that you have and I have are filled or imprinted with eternal treasures on them. They're blank pages that all of us have. To put it another way, each day in a new year is a journey into the unknown. While we are here, we must expect unusual events to pathways that we have not passed before. Thought about, what if I preached this message a year ago? The unknown and the uncertainty and the changes and what might befall us this year? Oh my, no idea. Yet every new day will be filled for an opportunity for you and me to fill another page. How will your pages for 2021 look a year from today? How will the 365 pages of next year look? The children of Israel have arrived at Jordan. Behind them is Egypt and 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Before them is the promised land that they're waiting to possess. What was it that helped the Israelites press forward on an untrodden path with no previous footsteps or experience to follow, a path that they never passed on before? What pushed them forward? That's what I want to look at this morning. Because you know what? We need to be pushed forward. We don't need to live in the past. We don't need to live in 2020. We don't need to walk into 2021 timid and scared. We need to move forward. I want to give you three thoughts on what moved Israel forward, where they went, where they had never been before. Number one, if you're taking notes, the failure of the past. The failure of the past is something that moved them forward. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 2. They remembered 40 years of wandering, and Israel, the people of Israel, did not want to go another day, another month, another year of wandering. Watch this. We're talking about a generation that watched their fathers and their mothers pass off one by one. And they never got to see the promised land. We're talking about 40 years of wandering purposelessly, no purpose in mind, just wandering, not getting to the promised land, not accomplishing anything for God, frustrated with where they're at in their lives, and no way forward. That's what we're dealing with in this generation of Israelites that now is getting ready to cross over into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." To what? To humble thee. And to prove thee. And to know what was in thine heart. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Notice the instruction from God's word is that they would remember all the way. Do you see that? You see those words in verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. He wanted them to remember all of it. He wanted it to be a motivation. He wanted it to be something that pushed them forward. That when they thought about disobeying, when they thought about living and being controlled by fear, when they thought about not accomplishing what God gave them to do, when they thought about the step that was before them that looked so large that they couldn't take it, he wanted them to remember the wilderness. Remember what happened in those 40 years. Let that be a push to you to move forward. Numbers chapter 32, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." Wilderness wanderings are the result of disobedience. He wanted them to remember that. He wanted them to remember that God's anger was kindled against them, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. For Israel, the wilderness wanderings meant no real fulfillment in life. It meant no spiritual victory to talk about and rejoice in. It meant no land for themselves. It meant no security. It meant no rest. It meant little rejoicing, lots of conflict due to spirit sins in their lives. If you study those 40 years, it was not a wonderful time for Israel. And I believe Christians go through times of wandering as well. They go through circles in life without purpose, without direction, without victory or celebration of anything spiritually taking place in their lives, without them seeing God use them to touch the lives of other people for eternity's sake. You have yet to put God first in your life. Maybe 2020 is a year that you would describe as wandering. You have yet to obey God in a spiritual matter. You have yet to surrender your life and your will to Him. Maybe it's not just 2020. Maybe it's 2019 too, and 2018 or 2017. Maybe you feel like for a few years, I've been wondering. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about in your life where God's not been the center, where God's not seemed real, where I don't know how to describe it, preacher. I just feel like I'm in a wilderness. Wandering means you've not had clear direction from God for a period of time in your life. You see, when God gives clear direction, you're no longer wandering. You have steps to take, and God leads you. Wandering means you're living without pressing after anything in your life spiritually. Paul said, "I press toward the mark." When a Christian is wandering, he's not pressing towards any spiritual marks in his life. That's wandering in the wilderness. Wandering means you're led by the daily lifestyle of the world. Wandering means you've left the steps of obedience road in your life. This was all true of Israel in the wilderness. And it was their failures in the past that would help push them forward even into an unknown path that they had never traveled before. Dear Christian, I want you to understand all failure is not bad. Failure can be a tremendous motivation. I think of the athletes that go into the Olympics and they are pressing just to get into the Olympics. Some of them are favored to win the gold medal going into the Olympics. And they get there and they put all the time, the years of training and the years of self-discipline into getting to the Olympics and winning the gold medal. And they run that 100 and they lose by 3/1000ths of a second. And they go back for the next 4 years and they are motivated. And they are pushed. And they are saying, man, I have to give myself to greater training. I've got to go after it harder if I'm going to win. Was failure bad? Oh, no. It's a motivation. And I'm saying the children of Israel is going down a path that they never went down before. By the way, that path would include Ai, where they lost in Joshua chapter 8. It wasn't that that path was going to be smooth because all of a sudden they decided to take the first step and cross Jordan and the rest of it's going to be a piece of pie. Oh, no. Well, no, but they didn't want to go through what they've been through for 40 years. Dear Christian, if you've been wondering this year, it's time. It's time to cross Jordan, so to speak. It's time to leave the wilderness. Have you left steps of obedience? Have you left baptism undone? You ought not to. It's a step of obedience before the Lord. And to be honest with you, you can't really go forward spiritually and leave that step behind. You can't skip that step. Have you left commitment to a Bible-believing local church behind? It's not that big a deal to you. Have you left some of the commitments that you've made to a Bible-believing church behind? Have you left witnessing behind? Have you left making the Lord's Day on Sunday, and being in church every time the doors are open? Have you disobeyed putting off the old man and putting on the new? Have you not worked to develop a personal devotional life? And you're wondering without direction, and you're saying, God, what would you have for me? But the truth of the matter is, you got to follow the steps of obedience. You're not going to get direction if you don't spend time with the Lord on a daily basis. Have you disobeyed the guarding of your temple of God against impurities? Allowed things to come into your mind and into your heart, into your body that are impure? Have you not yet utilized your spiritual gift in the church? Have you disobeyed the step of tithing? And the list could go on and on. You see, wandering takes place when we disobey. They were supposed to go into Canaan, weren't they? And they didn't. And God said, now 40 years, you're going to wander. I wonder if you would allow maybe failures this year, specifically wandering, to spiritually motivate you. That the path may be unknown with God, but I need to get on God's path again in my life. Not wander aimlessly. Will you follow God? I wonder if you'll step out in faith in the new year and take the step of obedience that you have been looking at, that you have left undone, that you have disobeyed unto this point. I wonder in the new year if you would move beyond it and say, the failures of the past push me forward. That's what happened with Israel. There's a second thing that pushed them forward, and that was the faith of the present. The faith of the present. Not only did failures of the past press the people to go forward, even out of their comfort zone into unknown territory where they had never been before, but faith in the present caused them to cross over in Canaan. Look at Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua 2, verses 22 through 24. By the way, Canaan was not a trickle of a stream when they decided to cross. In fact, it was flooding its borders. I'll show you later in Scripture. We're coming through Harrisburg yesterday, 322 down to 83 down to home. And the river up there was so full. I mean, it was right, it made three or four comments. I cannot believe how much water is here and how it's moving this time of year. Usually, you know, it's frozen, stationary, and that water was moving and that water was up against the banks. And I thought, boy, I wouldn't want to cross that right now. And Israel is going to cross Jordan, which they've never done before. And here's their faith that was different than the 40 years before. Look at verse number 22. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now watch this. Verse 22, they were being chased. There were people that were pursuing them. This is the story of when they were hid in Rahab's house, right? You remember that story? And Rahab said, hey, if I hide you and I protect you from the enemy here, can you do something for my family when you come in to take the land? Because Rahab believed Israel was going to come in and take the land. They came, remember, and Rahab hid them. And they escaped. But the Bible says in verse 22 that they abode 3 days in the mountains because the pursuers were after them. And the spies come back and they say this. Hey, Joshua, the land's ours, all the land. He says they have become faint. They have become faint. Isn't that a drastically different report than the 10 spies brought 40 years before? Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13 and we'll contrast those two statements. Truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. But look at the report 40 years before. But the men, in verse number 31 of Numbers 13, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I want you to understand that this generation that had experienced failure, I want you to understand that there was something within them that was strengthened, and that was their faith. That's very interesting to me that the spies in Joshua 2 said, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. Even the people in the country are faint. And 40 years before, the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people. No mention of God. You see that? No mention of the Lord. Truly the Lord hath given all the land into our hands. But 40 years before, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Dear Christian, there's strong application to be made in the days in which we are living. I want you to know the politicians of our day are not stronger than our God. I want you to know that the enemies that we may face today are not stronger than our Lord. There's a lot of Christians that are saying, we be not able to go up. They're stronger than we. That's not faith, my friend. The reason they went up because there was a present faith that moved them, that saw God bigger than any obstacle, than any trouble, than any trial, than any difficulty, than any enemy. Our God is able. And dear Christian, if you're going to go forward for God, you must come to that conclusion in your life. No matter what you're facing, my God is able. 7 times that phrase is recorded in Scripture. God is able. They grew in their faith. The two spies had experienced God's protection at the hands of Rahab. And they came back with the report. They could not see God in the midst of difficulty 40 years before. But now they could see God bigger than their difficulties. Here's the truth. The unknown God creates for us to pass through so that our faith will grow. Let me say it again. The unknown God creates for us to pass through so that our faith grows. Man, who's going to be the first to put their foot in the Jordan? Okay. And another one. And another step. And here come another Israelite, and another Israelite, and another Israelite. And God rolled back the waters, and they crossed. Now that was unknown. It was unknown how they were going to get across. But boy, when they looked back, boy, we took a step of faith, and God, look what God did. It's interesting. None of us could have dreamed what 2020 would bring. Yet through it, Christian, your faith should have grown. Some went through it without work, and you saw God provide. Some went through it with health scares, and you saw God deliver, bring you through. Some went through it with deep sorrow, yet God gives you grace and strength and support and His presence each day. Some went through and faced heartbreak, but God is bringing you through. Others faced an unfulfilled expectation or sudden changes in your life and family, yet God grows and has grown our faith through the unknown. They camped, the Bible says, in Joshua 3, verse 2, if you go back there. They camped at Jordan for 3 days before proceeding. Why the delay? Why didn't they get on with it? Why did they delay on the precipice of Jordan? And they did it for 3 days. It would seem to me, boy, the spies came back. We can take it. Man, we withdrew before. We kind of stepped back before. We're not going to step back again. But 3 days, they waited. I think the answer is found in verse number 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What he was saying is today is a preparation day. And that's what I look at this Sunday before the new year as for the body of Mount Zion Baptist Church. He said, we're going to cross. We're going to go into unknown territory. We're going to go where you've never gone before. And God's going to do some things. But in preparation for that, you need to sanctify yourselves. What's that mean, preacher? It's vital that you and I sanctify ourselves. It is important that God has all of you today, for tomorrow is coming. To sanctify means to be set apart, to be consecrated for God's exclusive use. I wonder, as we approach a new year and going where you've never gone before and going where I've never gone before, if on this Sunday, before the new year begins, you would say, Lord, I just want to tell you, I just want you to know that, Lord, I want my life set apart for your use in the coming year. And Lord, that may mean you may want to make some changes in my life to get rid of some things so that I'm set apart for your use. Sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow is coming. Where you've never been before, it's coming. Will you do the preparations that God requires? Will you take and have faith in the present to say, God, your word tells us to sanctify ourselves. And God, in my life, Lord, maybe I use too much of 2020 for me. God, in 2021, I want to be used for you. God, I want to touch other people for your glory. God, if it's the last year that you let this earth exist before you come back in the clouds, God, I want it to be the most fruit-producing year in my life spiritually. God, I want to be more committed to witnessing in my life. Lord, I just want to be used for you. Lord, my heartbeat, I'm saying this morning at an altar this morning, God, my heartbeat is to set my life apart for you. And that may involve some changes, and that may involve pushing some other things out of my life so that my life is set apart for you. God invited all Israel to go into the promised land. But there was preparation to be done before they did it. Thus, the 3 days of waiting and the instruction, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow, God will do wonders. I want you to know today is yours to make that kind of a decision. Tomorrow's is God's. I think to myself, what if they would not have sanctified themselves? What would have happened at Jordan? It's not easy to sanctify yourself. It means that you remove from some things. In Joshua chapter 3, look at verse number 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. Faith without action isn't faith. Faith equals conviction or persuasion with corresponding actions. Here's somebody that hears the word of God and hears that Jesus died for their sins. And is instructed that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Two simple steps given in that verse, steps of faith. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's prayer. And believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. They hear the gospel message, but they don't act, my friend. That's not faith. Faith is always action. Action. Their faith required them to remove from Shittim in verse number 1. It's an interesting word. It means to turn away from a righteous life toward an unrighteous one. Huh. Easy for Christians to get stuck at Shittim's. Leave a righteous path for an unrighteous habit, for an unrighteous life, for a worldly, carnal existence. I believe there's a lot of believers that get stuck at Shittim. But one day Joshua woke up and he removed from Shittim, and so did the people. Is Shittim in your life where you haven't trusted God regarding raising your children God's way? You'll raise them, but not in agreement with Bible truth or principle. You won't discipline them. You won't command your house after you. Oh, it's just all up to them. I think I just let my 9-year-old make the decision as to whether or not he wants to go to Sunday school. That's not how we raise children. I wonder if your Shittim needs to be left and you raise your kids God's way. Is Shittim where you haven't yet confessed and repented over sin in your life as a Christian? You feel guilty about it when you do it. But you haven't repented. You haven't changed your mind about it. You haven't gotten a hatred for it. You haven't become very careful and cautious so that you stay away from any place or anything that would cause you to give into it again. You haven't shown humility in that area. You're still dwelling at Shittim. Is Shittim where you haven't trusted God to
to abide by His financial principles in your life? Is shit 'em where you haven't believed God's word regarding one of the steps that God's given? I've had people get very upset with me when we've talked about church membership. Like, this is not in the Bible. Why? Why would you get upset over that issue? Why would you dwell at Shittim and not commit to a Bible-believing local church? On the brink of the start of a new year, you could remove from Shittim and come to Jordan, and there may be other Shittims in your life that you're dwelling in. I certainly don't have time to make all the applications. In Joshua chapter 3, look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, then the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." Let me be honest with you this morning. The enemy would have us to look at the difficulty of the step, not at the blessing that follows it. The enemy in your life would do everything to keep you at Shittim. Work overtime to keep you at Shittim. And you never see the waters roll back and cross right over. I wonder if there's a step that, man, it's overflowing the banks, preacher. If I do this, I have no idea what will happen in my life. Preacher, if I make that change, I know my family is not going to approve of that. Preacher, I know what the Bible says on this, but I want you to understand, I just can't do it. I want to urge you through the preaching of the Word of God this morning. The enemy will do everything to keep you at Shittim and will blind you from the blessings of leaving Shittim. They got to see the blessings. You know why? They left Shittim. They operated in faith. Faith in your life is always a step of action. It is a step of action. Someone had to put their feet in the water. I want you to know that God takes care of us even in imperfect conditions. It was flood stage, but God had it all under control. There's a third thing that pushed the people, as I close this morning, to cross Jordan, and that is the leadership for the future. The leadership for the future. Look at verse number 3 of Joshua chapter 3, if you will. The Bible says, "And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest of the Levites bearing it, that ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." The ark in the Old Testament, you well know, is a symbol of God's presence. God was leading Israel here. He wasn't just sending them blindly into an unknown path. He said, when you see the ark go before you, then leave and follow it. Follow it. I want you to know that going where you haven't been before doesn't mean that somebody's not been there before or that you have no leadership. How many of you have been on a hike that you have never been on before? You took a hike for the first time on a trail. Raise your hand. All right. You may put your hands down. When I'm on a hike and I'm on a new trail, I'm very alert because I need to make sure I see the signs. Some of those trails cross other trails, and I certainly don't want to get lost. Me and my mother one time got lost on a trail, and it was getting dark, and my father was getting concerned, and the girls were in the car, And we didn't know where we were at, and we just looked out and saw light, so we thought, walk to the light. And finally, we got there. But you understand that without any signs, the trail can be all the more fretful and fearful. All the more without a leader that knows the way, hey, it can cause trouble in your heart. Their way was not to figure out on their own. Dear Christian, your way in 2021 is not to figure out for yourself. If you're a believer walking with the Lord, then you have God leading the way and directing your path. This is great motivation to be in contact with God and to have a right relationship with Him, where you are not living in known sin or living in a carnal life full of yourself. Why? Because you need the leadership of God in your life. I'm speaking to every young person this morning. Look up here. We've got tons of young people, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 in our church. Listen to me. You need the leadership of God in your life. If you're going to follow God's path, then you need His leadership. You need a clear relationship with Him. You need to be in contact with Him. You need day and night prayer and Bible study. You need to talk to God at the start of your day. You need God's leadership. They could not have gone the path that they had never gone before without the leadership of God. And God made it very clear to him. When we find ourselves in unfamiliar places, we should look for God's familiar presence. Every Christian, I believe, in 2021, somewhere along the line, you're going to find yourself in an unfamiliar place. A place possibly you've never been before. May you be reminded through Joshua this morning and the word of God here that God leads His people. You may be in an unfamiliar scene at college. You may be in uncharted waters. You may face unwanted conflict or unsure about a decision. You may have an undesirable task that all of a sudden is put in front of you. Remember, you need God's leadership and presence in your life. Uncertain times is when we trust in a certain God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In Deuteronomy 31, verse number 8, it says, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He goes before to lead. He goes before to lead. I shared this with the ambassadors a couple weeks ago when Elijah had confronted Ahab and he was sent to the brook Cherith. God said, go to brook Cherith. I've already commanded the ravens to feed you there. I'm already ahead of you, Elijah. I'm already directing your path. I've gone before you. Trust me. Trust me. Follow me. I've got your back. I'll take care of you. Trusting. Trust is leadership. His leadership is many times through His word and biblical counsel, times of prayer. He got done at brook Cherith, it dried up. But Elijah was in contact with God. Very next verse after the brook dried up, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah again, saying, I thought about this. What if he didn't get the word that day? No time for your word today. Very next verse. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, get thee to Zarephath. Watch this. I've already commanded the widow at Zarephath to feed you there. God says what? I'm your leader. I'm ahead of you on your path. You follow me. You trust me. Watch this. You stay in contact with me. Parents, I don't know what your kids will face this year. I do know this. The enemy is very, very real. And he's after our kids. If he gets a stronghold in one of your kids' life, that's going to be a new path. How are we going to deal with that? I'll tell you how you're going to deal with that. You're going to stay in contact with God. And you're going to trust God. And you're going to watch God lead. And you're going to follow God's steps in your life as He leads down a road that you've never been before. Listen, the roads are numerous to where we've never been before. God, you've gone before me. God, I trust your leadership in my life. We're on the precipice of a new year. With it is a journey of the unknown. With it is 365 blank pages in your life and mine. An untrodden path, one in which you've not passed before. What should help you push forward? Failures of the past should. They ought to motivate us not to return to the same failures, to learn and to grow through them, and to make up time, so to speak, that we've lost spiritually. You've been wondering in your life, wandering in a wilderness, last few months, last year. Preacher, it's been a couple years. I just not fulfilled. No victory spiritually. Feel like I'm going in circles. Eat, drink, work, sleep. That's all there is to life. There's got to be more to life than this. Yeah, there is. There is. You need to get back to obedience to the Lord. Let the failures of the past motivate you. Faith in the present, moving us to action. Been wavered in your faith this year? Been weak in your faith? At times, have you been overcome by fear? Israel would admit these things, but one day they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. What Shittim do you need to leave in your life? Preacher, you said the Bible says sanctify yourselves. Preacher, on this Sunday, before the new year, next Sunday we'll be in 3 days into that 365 book of pages. But on this Sunday, preacher, I'm going to sanctify myself before the Lord.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.